We get things rolling by talking Patriots football as we're joined on the phone by Christopher Price of Boston Sports Journal and the author of Drive for Five, The Remarkable Run of the 2016 Patriots. Chris, good afternoon.
Let me get this right. You guys met Needle Nose Ned?
Not only met, he was here in studio hanging out with us. He did readings and then we hung out and drank beer named after him with him.
Oh, that's awesome. I got to hear this full story sometime. That's fantastic.
That was great.
That's really cool.
He was a good guy. Very, very fun stuff there. I mean, it's not as much fun as hanging out in high altitudes, though, with the Patriots.
Well, no. You know, I mean, give me a break, right? I mean, who wouldn't want to, you know, spend a week in Colorado Springs hanging out with the Patriots? It's interesting because I want to know, and I'm fascinated to see how this is all going to play out on Sunday, because the Raiders are staying at home, and I know logistics are involved in terms of, you know, how far you have to move and everything, but you know the Raiders are staying at home, and they do have some experience at high altitude. I mean, obviously they play in Denver, you know, once a year, but I'm just fascinated to see if it's going to pay off for New England come Sunday, if, you know, the Raiders are going to wilt and, you know, fall over in the fourth quarter, or what's going to happen. So I just, you know, that's one of the reasons they play the games, I guess, but it's going to be interesting to see how all that impacts Sunday's game between these two teams.
Well, if one just looks at the raw statistics, we might assume a high-scoring game because neither defense has set the world on fire, and it's hard to believe, but this is a Raiders defense that set a fairly unique NFL record, having gone 10 games without intercepting a single pass.
Yeah, and one of the things that was interesting, I've been talking with some folks in Oakland, and the big thing about Oakland last year is their ability to kind of keep it close and force turnovers and get some of that fourth quarter magic from Derek Carr. They haven't been able to do that this year. They've only forced six turnovers, all of them fumbles. And as you mentioned, they haven't gotten a single pick this year. They do have some great, fearsome pass rushers and guys like Mack, but really they're kind of, you know, keeping the secondary together with bubblegum and bailing wire. And I have to imagine that, you know, there are going to be plenty of opportunities for the Patriots in the passing game, even without the likes of someone like Chris Hogan and Malcolm Mitchell, to make up some serious ground against Oakland on Sunday.
And you mentioned no Chris Hogan, one of a handful of Patriots who won't be in action. Let's start there. Do we see Dorsett get more action? Who fills that void without Hogan this week?
You're going to see more of an impact. You're going to see more of a you know, the wide receiver. Not so much the wide receivers. They're always going to have a role. Guys like Amendola, you know, especially on third down, are always counted on. But the running backs and the tight ends, I think you're going to see another sizable week out of them. This is a defense that has struggled to contain tight ends and backs in the passing game. And I think when you consider the performance the last couple weeks, Gronkowski last week, Martellus Bennett caught a few passes, you know, Deion Lewis, James White, that's a huge part of what they want to get done offensively. And so, you know, while there will be wide receivers who will step into that void, I would put my money on another big week of, you know, Rex Burkhead and the rest of the backs, as well as Rob Gronkowski and Martellus Bennett in the passing game.
Marcus Cannon is out, and we've seen very little of David Andrews this week. What will the O-line look like on Sunday?
If those guys can't go, it's going to be our guy, Steady Teddy Karras, one of the most likable guys in the Patriots locker room, the backup center who really hasn't had much of a chance to play at all this year, because the three interior linemen, he's the primary backup for the interior linemen. And the three interior linemen, the two guards, Tooney, Mason, and then Andrews, the center, those guys have gone wire to wire. They went wire to wire over the first eight games of the season. All three played deep into last week's game against the Broncos. Andrews ended up coming out in the fourth quarter. But it's my understanding that Andrews may be suffering from a bit of altitude sickness. And so, you know, we talk about the high mountain air. It's going to be interesting to see if he's going to be able to go. We're going to get the full injury report a little bit later this afternoon. But if he can't go, I imagine it would go with Ted Karras as the backup center, and he would be the guy who would be asked to man the pivot for New England Sunday against the Raiders.
And no Matthew Slater, and it may be a while before we see Matthew Slater back out there from some of the reports we're hearing.
Yeah, that hamstring thing is just, it's tough because, look, you know, I'm going to take off my sports writer hat and put on my human being hat here for a second. Matthew Slater is not only a great football player in terms of what he does, he's one of the best gunners in the league, one of the fastest guys in the team, and really in a lot of ways the spiritual centerpiece of that locker room. He's also a great guy, and it's tough to see a guy like that plus 30 you know, kind of have these recurring hamstring issues, especially someone who relies so much on his speed. So, yeah, I think that he's going to be on the shelf for at least, you know, another week, maybe two here, because this is something that cropped up earlier in the season. He missed the first four games, missed a sizable portion of summer workouts. So, you know, when you talk about the overall impact on special teams, he's obviously not Gostkowski or, you know, or Cardona or Ryan Allen, but he does play a very important role when it comes to working as a gunner.
We're talking with Christopher Price, Boston Sports Journal. You had a really terrific piece on BSJ earlier this week on the defense, and there has been improvement over the last five games. How much of that has been legitimate improvement, and how much has been, as you mentioned in the column, the fact that they haven't played big-time offenses?
Yeah, I think that the numbers are great. I really do, and they're certainly trending in the right direction. And look, if they're trending the other way, we'd kill them. So, you know, I think that's first and foremost when you talk about the improvement in the defensive numbers. At the same time, all numbers have to be put in some sort of context. And when, you know, you consider the fact the Patriots have played some not so great offenses over the, you know, over the last five games, I think probably the best offense they played was Atlanta, and they held Atlanta to 7 points. They're on a roll, though. I will say this, that the defensive issues that dogged them over the first four games, regardless of the opponent, certainly appear to have been cleaned up, whether it's communication, whether it's execution, you know, whether it's getting guys in certain situations, new faces in certain situations to be able to play well as part of the overall unit. You know, whatever the case may be, guys like Stephon Gilmore have played well. You know, Jonathan Jones, Johnson Batamosi, you've seen improvement across the board with those types of guys. And I think that plays a large role into their success, or has played a large role in their overall success over the last 5 weeks.
Tom Brady looked so good in the Denver game. And now I'm thinking, you know, with a week of high altitude conditions, is it possible he'll just levitate on Sunday?
I don't know if that's part of the TB12 diet plan, though. I don't
know. All that water may weigh him down a little bit.
Exactly. All the water, all the avocado ice cream may weigh him down. But look, I think that the other thing, and I think this is important to note going into this game, Brady, when he's faced a Jack Del Rio-led defense, and Del Rio is either the defensive coordinator or the head coach, he's won 8 of those 9 games, and he's put up phenomenal numbers over the course of his career when going up against the Jack Del Rio defense. So regardless of who is on the other side of the ball, regardless of the altitude, regardless of the venue, it's usually a pretty safe bet that when he goes up against Del Rio, he's going to end up one-upping him.
Burkhead with a nice game last week. Deion Lewis continues to play well. Who would you say this Sunday is likely to be the most valuable offensive player not named Tom Brady?
I think it's going to be Gronkowski. I do, although that's kind of a, you know, default answer because he's probably number two behind Brady. But when you consider their struggles when it comes to slowing tight ends, I think this certainly sets up to be a really good opportunity for him to put up some big numbers. But, you know, also to, like we mentioned before, you know, whether it's Burkhead, whether it's Deion Lewis, whether it's, you know, James White, you know, they've gotten some really good performances out of the backs. And I think that that's going to be the case again this Sunday in Oakland, or in Mexico City, I should say.
And boy, on the defensive side of things, and you wrote about the Iron Man this week, Devin McCourty, is he going to take a play off this year?
I think he's taken one right now so far. And it was funny, I was joking with him about that a couple of weeks ago, and he says, yeah, you know, when you play safe, it's not like playing linebacker or playing, you know, defensive line or something. You know, it's completely, you're back there, you don't really have a whole lot of contact. So he kind of, he said, you know, I should be playing that much. You know, if I'm healthy, I'm ready to go, I should be playing that much. So, look, McCourty is so important to what they want to get done defensively in terms of, you know, guiding everyone and making sure everyone's where they need to be, especially after Hightower went down. You know, that's a guy who's really, you know, you never want to label it, you know, his defense. But I think he is as close as you can be to a defensive leader on that side of the ball at this stage of the season.
Chris Price, always great talking with you. And I will say this while you're here. Once we get to Thanksgiving week, okay, I'm ready for Christmas. I don't want to hear Christmas music until after Thursday. And I don't usually want to start thinking about Christmas shopping, but I will amend that with you here to say I can't think of better gifts you could get for the football fan in your family than, or the sports fan in your family, than to get a subscription to Boston Sports Journal and then to get yourself a copy of your book, Drive for Five, The Remarkable Run of the 2016 Patriots.
I appreciate that, Rich. I really do. It's selling very well to this point. You know, we want to keep the momentum going forward for the sales of the book and subscription to the site. We're hopefully as it stands right now, we're right on the cusp of 6,000 subscribers. The goal is to get to 10,000 within the first year. We started in July. So we've got a really good head start on things.
Well, it's always quality content all around. Great group of writers on board. And we always love having you in the show talking Patriots. Thanks, Chris. And I hope you and your family have a great Thanksgiving as well.
You too, Rich. Take care, and we'll talk soon.
That's Christopher Price, Boston Sports Journal, here on Downtown.